going on, everybody? And thank you so much for tuning in. So today I am joined by author Genevieve Gornicek, author of The Witch's Heart. As you can see, I have paperback and hardcover, which is just so nice of the publisher sent me those. So beautiful of them. But Genevieve, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing okay for a Tuesday. It could be better, could be worse, but it's December. Work's kind of slowing down a little bit. So maybe some reading is in my future. That's what I'm hoping. Yes. So it's been a pretty long morning for you so far. You've been kind of interviewing it up. How's all that going?
It's going really well. Everybody's been super nice. We've had some great conversations, so I'm looking to continue that energy. So I'm super excited to be here.
Good. And you're fresh off of a convention. How did that go?
It went really well. I'm a super geek. I've been going to conventions myself as a patron for 12, 13 years. So to be a panelist for the first time at Emerald City Comic Con, no less. Like, I've always wanted to visit Seattle, so it was just a wonderful experience.
That's awesome. Yeah, I haven't actually been to a convention. I've just done the virtual thing. I've done Mayday Con. I've got CBR Con going into its second year. But I'm like literally 2 hours from Atlanta, so I could go to Dragon Con if I wanted to.
I just
haven't, like, I don't know. There's just a lot of people and there's just a lot going on. I feel like it's overwhelming. Is it overwhelming being, just going to it? Is it more overwhelming being a panelist? Do you feel like it's more relaxed being a panelist?
I was way more relaxed being a panelist. Just because, like, I was hype up until my panel. And then I was like, now I can enjoy the rest of the con. And it was great. Yeah, a lot of people, there was a turnout. They took precautions and it was, I really enjoyed it. But it also helps to have, like, if you're going to go to a con, my piece of advice is to get a hotel room somewhere where you can, like, decompress a little bit after being around so many people and doing that much walking. Because not having a space for that, like having to just continuously wander, that is exhausting.
I can imagine. Yeah. I feel like, you kind of know what you're doing. So, like, your schedule is fairly set when you're a panelist. So that's kind of like a relief. I feel like going to a convention is almost kind of like going to Disney World. Like, you just get a map and you go, this is where you can go. And you
have
specific times. And
like, it's like a Renaissance fair.
Yeah. Well, just kind of first question I got for you, I guess not really a question. It's more of a statement, I guess. Tell me a little bit about yourself, how you got into writing, and then, like, when did you really start taking writing seriously enough to become an author?
I've been making up stories, like, since before I could actually, like, physically hold a pen. Like, I used to dictate stories to my mom and then I would, like, draw them with little Crayola markers. I started writing fan fiction when I was 11. I'm glad that more authors are starting to be more candid about their beginning in fan fiction, because I don't think that there is anything wrong with that. In fact, I think that's a great precursor to creating your own worlds, is to have to play around in somebody else's world where the parameters are already set and you could just kind of tell your own story before you start to build your own. And to the people who never transitioned from fan fiction, like, you're still a writer too. Like, it's, you don't have to go from one to the other. Like, it's really whatever you make of it. So that's super exciting. But I didn't start working on original fiction until I was 15. And then in college, I started getting really into all things Viking /Norse/ all of that. Yeah. So I actually wrote The Witch's Heart 10 years ago in college.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. It's funny you talk about fan fiction. I talked to Jenny Dewis. That's kind of how she started her fiction. And I was talking to Dan Hanks the other day about his kind of start, and he was like, "Well, I tried to write, like, the next Indiana Jones novel, and that was kind of like my start." There are a lot of people that just go, "If only I could tell this better, or if I could just write the next book that I know will never happen, and then maybe not feel like I'm ripping anybody off."
Exactly.
So what type of fan fiction, I guess, were you writing? What was some of your favorite?
Oh my gosh. I started off with Invader Zim. Like, that was my formative TV show. It came out, like, right before my 11th birthday. I'm dating myself right here, but, like, oh my God, like, that show. And then I go back and watch it now and I'm like, I can't believe I was allowed to watch that.
I know. Like, that's like any show, like, in the 90s or the early 2000s. Yeah. Like, my gosh, what were my parents thinking? Let me watch this.
Right, exactly.
The same thing with like, you know, like Ren and Stimpy or like Angry Beavers and stuff like that. It's just
Rocco.
Like,
Yeah.
Oh, especially Rocco. Like I'm going back and watched a couple episodes and I go, it literally says hell on that episode, like on the show. Like, what? Yeah, but clearly we turned out okay. So it was a good thing.
Yeah.
So did you read a lot growing up? I mean, clearly, you know, you told stories and you wrote about stories and so forth, but did you read a lot of books growing up? And if so, did you have a lot, you know, some favorite authors that you would always go to?
Yeah, I read a ton growing up. I was that kid in class who would do her work as fast as possible to be able to get back to my sustained silent reading book. Like if standardized tests, you know, they would like make you stay for the whole like 4 hours. I'd be like, okay, I'm done with my test in an hour so I can go back to my book. But I would just read everything. Like I didn't really have a favorite author. Like many of us, I was super into Harry Potter. I wrote some Harry Potter fan fiction. Kind of fell out of that recently, like not the fan fiction. I stopped that when I was like 13, but like, you know, yeah.
I guess kind of fell out of the fandom a little bit.
Yeah. A little bit.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things it's really hard to really put like, I guess a divider line in it. Like, you know, a lot of people are on one side, a lot of people on the other side. And then, you know, I'm kind of one of those that just like, that's like my childhood, you know, kind of like even like Pokemon was my childhood. Like it's never going to go away. And right. Harry Potter is kind of like that because, you know, the music plays from the movies and you're just like, oh gosh, I remember when I was 10 and this, you know, this came out. So it's hard to kind of get away from that in some ways. Like my wife always talks about wanting to go to Universal to go walk around Hogsmeade and stuff. Like we've done it once, but like, I want to do it again. Yeah. But yeah, I can completely understand, you know, there's some tension there. I mean,
clearly
somebody wasn't invited back to the reunion that's happening.
Right. I think that there is a difference between still liking the books and supporting them with your money. I think that's where some people draw the line.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Harry Potter was a huge, Harry Potter made, I feel like it made our generation into readers again. And I don't think the importance of that can be understated. Yeah, the impact that it's had, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would agree. I didn't really love reading growing up. I mean, probably till about fourth grade. And I had a teacher that just like really encouraged it. And I was like, okay, I'll give this thing a shot, you know. And of course, you know, a lot of the reading that we did was very academic. So it was for a purpose to get a grade or to get AR points and stuff. Yeah. But yeah, you know, Harry Potter came out and I was like, oh, they're gonna do movies too. This is back before everybody's like, you have to read the book before you see the movie. So like I told my sister, I was like, you're taking me every time a movie comes out. But yeah, I would agree. And then, you know, I kind of slacked off a little bit when I got to high school and then got back into reading a little bit and then did none in college because it was just all academic and then back into it after. But yeah, it's interesting, like hearing, you know, the other journeys of authors, like where they kind of started and what they were into versus like us who had that, you're in that kind of same generation.
Yep.
So as far as your writing goes, you know, from your early days of fan fiction to writing your first novel, how was like your writing process kind of, has it come into its own? Have you tried a bunch of things that didn't work and now you kind of have a formula to the way you do it? Or do you just kind of try something, toss it out, we'll try it for the next book kind of thing?
Well, it honestly depends. Like The Witch's Heart itself is a fan fiction. And I think so is every other retelling that has come out. Like it's, you know, using stuff that exists and kind of building a story out of it. So I already had the bones of the story because of the mythology, but otherwise I am a total pantser. I have no idea what's going to happen until I write it because I've tried outlining before and the characters just change everything. You know, like sometimes you don't know what they're feeling or what they're going to do until you put them in that situation, like in the book. So I have an outline for my next project. I'm kind of following it. but honestly, it's always different for me, like depending on what inspires me, depending on what I want to write. So I haven't found really a formula that worked except, you know, writing for me and writing from the heart and then worrying later about other people seeing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Now this is a question I probably already know the answer to, but I want your exact take on it. Like, why Norse mythology? I mean, I know it's amazing, and it's amazing. I mean, let's just be clear. I mean, there's tons of books about it. There's shows. I mean, you've got Vikings, you've got Bernard Cornwell's series, and then of course, the lovely John Gwynne has written tons of Norse. But what was it exactly that stuck with you that's like, this is something I want to learn more about, study about, write about, etc.?
It was my academic interest that really like drove me, and the fact that we only have like the two sources, the Prose Edda and the Poetic Edda, and so like learning as much as I can about that and trying to learn everything, knowing that I never will learn everything, but I just like felt a connection to it while I was reading those. And I know like for Greek mythology, there's a ton of sources, and I just don't know as much about them. So Norse really drew me in, also because I have translated some of the myths from the original language, like in a class that I took in college, the class that started all of this, actually. It's all my professor's fault. She gets a big, big old thank you paragraph in the acknowledgments of the book, for really honestly changing my life and setting me on this path. So that's really where it started. I kind of read the Norse myths as a kid, but the Greek myths were, I loved Percy Jackson when I was younger. Mm-hmm. It came out when I was like in my late teens, but still, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. You know, it's one series that I never actually read. I mean, I have the entire series, but you know, I've clearly heard, you know, tons of great things about it. And then I think they said they were going to, I think at one point, revamp the movies or make it into a TV series or something.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe at some point, you know, I'll really jump back in, but yeah, I want to get back to a point you made earlier about fan fiction and about how there's a lot of that kind of around. I mean, a lot of people are telling all their own types of fairy tales, you know, taking certain pieces of manner, like Alex Harrow has started a series with Tor.com.
Yes.
I mean, you've got a lot of, I guess, YA authors that are kind of taking on certain ones as well. Mm-hmm. You know, do you feel like that's kind of going to become a subgenre of its own? Has it already, you know, kind of become that? You know, is fan fiction, you know, is kind of the future? I don't know exactly, but I mean, you say that you already kind of had this telling and you're retelling it. I mean, are retellings just kind of the new norm?
That's a great question. I think it just kind of depends on which way publishing goes. I think as long as people are still reading retellings and reimaginings and, you know, tales with all these familiar elements, I think that they will continue to be published, hopefully. But yeah, I'm a big fan.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, and I feel like a lot of things are retellings in some way or another. I mean, you can always add different elements and original elements and so forth, but at the end of the day, the bones of it are fairly similar,
right? Like the hero's journey.
Yeah. I mean, you've got kind of like a wheel, and you stop, you know, at a certain point. The wheel, and you're like, this is our starting point. Let's figure out how I can make it not sound like something else.
Right.
So let's talk a little bit about The Witch's Heart. So it's your debut novel. You know, you said you wrote it 10 years ago while in school. Can you tell us, you know, tell the audience, you know, what is The Witch's Heart about?
The Witch's Heart is about the giantess Angerboda, who is an obscure background character in Norse mythology. We literally don't know anything about her besides her relationship with Loki and her three kids with him, who then get taken away by the gods. That's not a spoiler. That's literally the only thing we know about her. But I kind of tried to present a what if. Like, what if this was what was going on in the background of all of the myths? So that really is the story. It's kind of just... it doesn't go like myth by myth by any stretch. So like, I don't even know that like I would call it a retelling. It's more like a reimagining, and it's kind of like a, you know, it's a what if situation. Cause there's a thousand ways that this story could have been told. We know so little about Angerboda. We know so little about a lot of the female figures in Norse mythology. They don't get much screen time. Mm-hmm. So if you ask 1,000 different writers to write the stories of these women, you're going to come up with 1,000 different stories each time, because, you know, each of us has our own take on it. Like, I'm not trying to reinvent the mythology. I'm just trying to, you know, shed a little bit of light on what this character's life could have been like in the background.
Yeah. Yeah. So what exactly about her like stuck out to you? Like, okay, this is who I want to write about. Cause I mean, clearly you've got a array of people that you could have written about. So why her exactly?
Well, she, you know, so her kids are a half dead, a little girl, and then a wolf and a snake. And there are other female figures in the mythology that have this association with wolves and snakes and death, and also prophecy, if you bring prophecy and link that up. So I like really connected with her because I saw these different elements of her in these different characters. And so I thought if I draw these all together, I might be able to tell her story from beginning to end, you know, within these parameters. Whereas any other figure that I would have picked, there's just not enough information besides probably Frigga Freya, who are two of the more famous goddesses. Literally anybody else, I would have been starting from scratch, which is why like there are so many great books out there that most of the ones I've seen are like indie pubbed, and they're great. But there's just so many different takes on the mythology that you can do. And so this is just mine.
I gotcha. Yeah. I mean, and you know, we're going to have a panel on a Norse mythology for TBRCon,
yes,
which does have some phenomenal indie writers on it as well. And probably a couple that you're probably mentioning now, just, you know, talking about all the different retellings and so forth that are out there. So as far as, you know, what your next novel is going to be, are you going to kind of stick with the same Norse mythology, or are you going a completely different direction? Are you going to be doing another retelling? What's kind of next from you?
So I can't talk specifically about my next project yet, but it is still in the realm of Norse things. It's not necessarily heavy on the mythology, but it is still in that realm just because this subject, like I've dedicated like my life to it, and I don't see myself veering away from that path anytime soon, just because I've already put in like so much work towards like research. And there's a lot about the time period, the Viking Age, which really still fascinates me. And I think there's a lot more to explore there.
I gotcha. Last question I got for you. What are some books that maybe you've read recently that you'd recommend?
So at Emerald City Comic Con, I met Shauna McGuire, and I had never read a book by her. Which is hard to believe, but she's one of those authors who has written so much that I didn't even know where to start. They're out of this list. Like, do I just like go eeny, meeny, miny, mo? Like, which series do I start off with? So I grabbed one of her Tor.com novellas, Every Heart a Doorway.
Yes.
Devoured that in one sitting, got her to sign it. Like, it was great. So I highly recommend that. There's also a couple indie pubbed books that have come out recently that are in the realm of Norse mythology. The Goddess of Nothing at All by Kat Rector is a Sigyn story. So Loki's wife in Asgard. It's a story about her, and it's great. And Truth and Other Lies by Lyra Wolf, which is a medieval reimagining / alternate universe Loki and Sigyn story. And I've enjoyed both of those a lot.
Awesome. Yeah, I definitely agree on Wayward Children by Shauna McGuire. I mean, she's just about to release her seventh book in that series in January, which is, I know, it's like mind-blowing. So many books. But you know, like you said, you finished it in a sitting. I mean, they're all about that length. It's not, she didn't take like a Martha Wells approach where she has like novellas and then a big thick novel and then novellas. So you know, you should be able to pick them up as you kind of go, and they all tell different stories of the different characters, which is really neat. I definitely recommend checking the rest of those out. And Lyra's gonna be on that panel for TBRCon as well, so that's gonna be awesome.
I think I am too.
You are.
Yeah. I'm also reading Northern Wrath by I don't know how to pronounce her name. It's Danish. Tilda Holt.
Yes.
And Tamandra Whitecastle as well. I have a copy of her book as well that I can't wait to start. So
I mean, look at you, just surrounding yourself with Norse. I mean, why not?
Exactly. It's so much fun. I think I got like Northern Wrath is like a chonker. It's like this big. So I tried to get through that on the plane. I only got about halfway through. Because it's so long, but I'm really enjoying it.
Awesome. Well, I'm gonna let you get to it, let you have a little bit of a breather before your next chat. But okay. I just wanted to say thank you so much for taking the time to come chat with me. Everybody, make sure you go check out The Witch's Heart. It is available in pretty much every format you can imagine. So definitely do that and check out TV Archon. Check out the Norse panel. It's gonna be at the end of January with Genevieve and a bunch of other amazing authors. And Genevieve, just best of luck with your next novel. Try to get some rest once these are all done.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. We'll talk again soon.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.